Hello, and welcome to Sports Report Podcast, episode 31. I'm Billy, and today we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. Week 15 of the NFL pretty much just wrapped up this past weekend. A lot of stuff going on there, including the Steelers dropping another game. I mean, just another game. The Patriots finally got eliminated from the playoffs for the first time since 2008, which is pretty insane. We'll talk a little bit about that, and we'll also talk about, honestly, the cancer that has come from James Harden's time so far right now with the Rockets at the start of the season. We'll get into that a little bit probably in the back half of this episode if you want to skip to that. But first, we're going to start, as always, with our NFL news. So before we get into our Week 15 just analysis of all these crazy games that went on, it was an exciting week in the NFL, honestly. I enjoyed it a lot. Especially with all the side stories going off in the on the side. But we'll start off with some just inside front office news. The Panthers, after their game this past week, they reportedly fired GM Marty Herney. Now, Herney's been with the team for a bit. He's the one that obviously signed Teddy Bridgewater this offseason, had the signing of Robbie Anderson. That worked out really well. Drafted guys like Brian Burns, DJ Moore. Those type of guys. Also hired head coach Matt Rhule. Now, the Panthers don't have the best winning record, as you know, this season. And I do think, as if you've watched them at all, they keep games tight, and you do see that they have a lot of production. I mean, Moore has been a very good wide receiver this season. Robbie Anderson has evolved into, honestly, one of the top wide receivers. You can see just overall, his improvement getting out of that Jet system. I mean, you know, he was good with the Jets, but he was just kind of a subpar wide receiver. Now you see him come into Carolina and honestly doing very, very well. And Herney spent all his picks on defense this past draft, drafting guys like Jeremy Chinn and Derek Brown. And honestly, I thought that Herney's done a great job with this Panthers team, and he's definitely setting them up to be one of the best young teams in the league. I said in past podcasts that, honestly, I think this Panthers team has the potential to possibly be one of the top contending teams in a couple of years. Because, I mean, that defense is very, very young, and it's set up to win. And the offense is young and set up to win as well. And even if Bridgewater isn't the quarterback, which maybe long-term they're not looking at him that way, even if, you know, he's still performing pretty well, and I think they could go ahead and if you just wait on those younger guys to develop even more, I think Bridgewater can still get these guys to the playoffs and to Super Bowl. It's just they're a young team. It's the first year with Rhule, who's a great head coach, did wonders for the Baylor program after they kind of fell down after their glory days in the early 2010s, built them back up. You see Rhule go, and then they fall back down again. So Rhule definitely has an effect. So I don't necessarily agree with this Marty Herney firing. I think it's maybe a little too soon, and he was definitely working well there. Apparently, the owner must have had something that he didn't like about what Herney was doing. Support of me from the outside looking in, I don't see any reason why you would fire him besides for possibly the losing record this season. I think he's done a great job looking towards the future, just not towards immediate success, and maybe that's what they're looking more towards. I'm not sure. But some people after this firing thought maybe, hey, Matt Rhule is in jeopardy of losing his job since Herney is the one that hired him, and Rhule necessarily hasn't gotten on the win sheet this season as much as maybe Panthers ownership group wanted him to, despite still keeping games within reach and, you know, improving their team a lot in terms of their personnel. But that's not the case. Rhule will not be fired. Matt Rhule is actually involved in the GM search with the owner of the Panthers, which honestly I think is very good. Rhule definitely has a role in this Panthers franchise, and I think that he is definitely the future for them. I see no reason in firing him this early, or even next year if maybe they struggle. I give him like 3 years minimum to do something for this team. I think Matt Rhule is a great coach, and I'm looking forward to see what he can do with this Panthers team. And honestly, if anybody can get this Panthers team to the playoffs and get them back to where they were in 2015, I think it's Matt Rhule. I have a lot of confidence in Matt Rhule. I think he's a very, very good coach, seeing what he did in Temple, then Baylor, obviously, and then coming into the NFL, it looks like he's going to have success there. You just got to give him a little bit more time than just 1 year. And even in this 1 year, he's shown a lot playing close games with the Bucks and other teams of that high caliber. So I'm definitely impressed. And I hope Marty Herney can find a job somewhere else. I do think he's a very good GM and should find another place to work. Definitely. And not even as assistant, as main GM. I think he's definitely done a good job, and I think teams could definitely use him. Teams like the Jets could definitely use a guy like him. Also, the Seahawks, another short, smaller story that's gone a little under the radar in the NFL this week, was the Seahawks activating Josh Gordon. Now, Josh Gordon, as we know, fell back into his drug problems the past year that he's kept falling back into. Over and over again. Josh Gordon, tremendous talent when he's not dealing with these issues, and is honestly, you know, back when he first came in with the Browns and he made that big splash, was honestly looking at like one of the best wide receivers in the league when you had guys like Calvin Johnson in there, and even a young Julio Jones who was pretty good at that point too. So you had him looking like that, but these drug problems have just dragged him across, and you know, it's tough for him, and I feel really bad, and I hope that he could get out of that. And, you know, it's nice that he got activated, he got cleared. It looked like, oh, he was getting out of it again. Hopefully it sticks this time. But then just like a few days later, reports come out that he suffered another setback in his drug problems and will not be shooting back up. So honestly, really sucks for Josh Gordon. Prayers up to him. I hope that he can get out of this again. It's just really depressing to see him just keep falling back into the drug problems with all the talent that he has and with how much good he can do on the field and everything. It's just so tough for him. And I hope he can get that figured out. As I've been saying for, it seems like the whole entire time we've had this podcast, I feel like he's fallen back into the problem at least three times. Just repeating what we've said before, I hope he gets back out of it and shows his overall talent and promise on the field and gets away from the drug problems. So just all prayers over here for Josh Gordon. I hope he gets out of that. Anyways, now that we're done with that, let's get onto a more, well, maybe not even more positive note, but a ranting maybe note. Just to show my frustration here with some of these teams and how some of their players have just acted ridiculous. This seems like it's the theme of the episode at this point, because the two main guys right now in this episode, I'm just a heads up that I'm going to go after right now, is James Harden and Juju Smith-Schuster. These guys, honestly, from what's come out in the past few weeks, this week, and just the past month, they've shown they're absolute clowns. I don't care. Juju Smith-Schuster and James Harden. James Harden more so. Juju's just a little, he's acting childish. James Harden just, ugh. He has done nothing positive for his public figure and persona in the past month at all. He's completely tarnished himself in the eyes of me and people I know and honestly the NBA community. Besides for the teams and the fans, like Nets fans and possibly some Heat fans that really just want James Harden because of his talent and everything and don't look at his problems, it's just rough. But anyways, we're on NFL, so we'll get back to that. But the first thing I'm going to talk about is more of a positive thing. The Cardinals beat the Eagles 33-26 on Sunday. Jalen Hurts was starting again. He had an amazing game. Hurts had over 401 total yards, four touchdowns. Overall, Hurts, I think we can definitely see Hurts is better than Carson Wentz. Now, I didn't think I'd be saying this this early in his career, but this season at least, Jalen Hurts is better than Carson Wentz. And now Wentz has that huge dead cap going on situation that if you trade him, you're still going to take on like $50 million. And he has a huge contract, and a lot of teams don't want to take that on, but there is some interest in that. And also, Wentz particularly isn't happy with this situation that Hurts has essentially taken his job and week by week is securing it even more so. Now, Hurts, you know, had very, very good performance here against a good Cardinals team. The secondary's not too amazing there, but even so, Hurts did good on the ground, and, you know, 401 yards is good no matter who you're facing, and four touchdowns. And he kept him within the game. 33-26 was the final score, so within 7 points. Good game. Cardinals, great team. They're looking better and better every week. Kyler Murray, he had 435 total yards and four touchdowns. So just overall showed the two former Oklahoma quarterbacks just showing their talent. I mean, athletic freaks on both sides of the ball. Jalen Hurts, I do think the Eagles need to go into next season with Hurts as their quarterback if he can keep going, obviously, these next 2 weeks. Wentz isn't going to work there anymore because, you know, what you could point to Wentz doing well in the previous seasons despite his injuries, and I agree with that. Wentz has been very good there, but the one main factor here is Jalen Hurts came along, and, you know, there's been some reports that what Wentz wasn't happy, Hurts came in, and that deterred his play, and some of the coaching staff was talking about that. Well, Hurts is not going anywhere after this. So if you really think that Carson Wentz can somehow come back into his old form with Jalen Hurts still on that team and play better than Jalen Hurts is playing right now and will play better for the Eagles and be more beneficial for the Eagles overall next season than Jalen Hurts would be in that same position next year, then you're delusional at this point. Wentz will not be the best quarterback for the Eagles next year. And I think overall you have to look at Jalen Hurts' performances the past few weeks and say, if he can keep this up, he is the Eagles' best path to winning. You know, I liked Hurts coming out of the draft. I didn't necessarily understand the Eagles' pick there, but after what has happened this season, I can definitely understand why they went and got Jalen Hurts, because just the fall off of Wentz, and I think that was smart by the coaching staff and the front office to realize and look into the future and see that Wentz was going to fall off a little bit and that maybe the prospects in the draft were good enough to go get and replace. And overall right now, it looks like Hurts is the guy for Philadelphia right now. Now, you can definitely fall back on some good players in this year's draft if you want to go do that, but that's not with Hurts playing this way. You don't have to go do that. See, if you start Hurts next year, get rid of Wentz, and Hurts falls off, doesn't do good, you could still fall back in the 2021 draft. I mean, Sam Howell is in the 2021. These QB classes coming in the next few years are very, very good. So even if Hurts falls off, you're still okay. So I think going into the year next year with Hurts as the starting quarterback, getting rid of Wentz, you know, you're not going to have a ton of money to work with because of Wentz's contract anyways and the dead cap, even if you get rid of him. But even so, Hurts is still playing well against good teams with wide receiver core, which isn't amazing. Alshon Jeffrey, Rager has been all right, but nothing special there. But even still, a Fulgham also, who should be utilized a bit more than he has been the past few weeks. But Hurts definitely is a good quarterback. I support him, and I think that the Eagles should go forward with him over Wentz into next year. As we know, Wentz wants out. There's been some speculation, maybe Patriots, Steelers, the teams that have guys like Cam and Roethlisberger that, you're going to have to get rid of them at some point, retire, or things like that. And Wentz definitely has a lot of cap space on there, so it's going to be tough for teams to take on his contract. But a team probably will bite. Schefter and guys like that have been reporting that people want in on Wentz. I don't think you're getting a first-round pick for Wentz anymore. I mean, that's out the window. If you benched him after he was having a bad season for a rookie, the rookie's playing better, it's just deterred his value even more. I would be surprised if you could get a third-round pick for Wentz. I think right now you're probably getting like a fourth or something, especially with that contract on him, because you're basically telling someone to take on a huge contract for a guy who might not even be your starting quarterback. So Wentz wanting out has put the Eagles in a tough position, and just Wentz playing badly has put the Eagles in a tough position. But thankfully, they planned ahead and got Hurts, which at the time I didn't understand, and I do apologize for that. But now I do realize that, and I liked Hurts coming out of the draft. I just didn't see the fit. I do see the fit now. And I do see the talent that I think I've seen for a while in Hurts. And I think he can carry that over. All right, so the next game we're going to talk about is Monday Night Football. The Bengals and the Steelers. Now, the Steelers, they started out 11-0, and then they lost to the Washington football team. And they haven't been doing very well ever since that game. And Juju Smith-Schuster, their star wide receiver, and, you know, he is a good wide receiver. I wouldn't say he's the most amazing wide receiver of all time. Maybe not necessarily even a number one wide receiver on a roster. But Juju, great athletic ability, all that. He's a bit of a social media person type guy. And he's been doing TikTok dances on opposing teams' logos. Now, this came into question a couple weeks ago. People not liking that, especially because he looks like an absolute idiot when he does it and he's losing. Now, he looks like an absolute idiot. He does. He looks like a dumbass. Juju needs to cool down on this. And prior to this Bengals game, what did he do? He danced on the logo. He had a message on his TikTok that said people didn't want him to be him, something to that effect, and that he was going to keep dancing anyways. Well, this all massively backfired to the delight of many memers and fans of the NFL in general, and people who respect not dancing on other teams' logos prior to the game. Now, if you want to do it after the game, you know, you won. It's not the most respectful thing ever, but hey, you won the game, you can do it. You've earned the right kind of to do that. You've beat down that team, so you want to beat down the team even more by doing your stupid little TikTok dance. And if Juju wants to do that, that's fine. Prior to the game, though, you just look like a complete idiot, especially when you get killed by like the two-win Bengals, who don't even have their number one pick, overall pick, Joe Burrow, a great quarterback who's been injured. Instead, they have fourth-round pick out of NC State from last year, who wasn't good enough to replace Andy Dalton, so they had to bring in another quarterback in Burrow, who was way better than Ryan Finley. But Finley, a fourth-round pick, comes in. He throws for 89 yards, and he still kills you. The so-called like possibly going undefeated Steelers that we were all talking about, Steelers fans overhyping this, like, oh, this Steelers team is amazing, despite them having a cakewalk of a schedule prior to week 12 when they got beat down by a Washington football team that's not even that great, but they do have a good defense, but quarterback play and all that, and their offense isn't necessarily like star-studded. Still got beat by them. And then they come in here and they got beat by the Bengals. 27-17. 10 points. 10 points. Two possession game. Not even a one possession game. Not like it was a close game or anything. They got beat by two possessions. With Ryan Finley. I can't get over this. Ryan Finley throwing for 89 yards. He had some, I think he had around 40 something rushing yards. So he did good to that effect. And he was 13 passes only, seven completions. Overall, had a pretty good game, was commanding of the Bengals offense. And I mean, good for Ryan Finley. He looked nice. Giovanni Bernard had 25 carries for 83 yards and a touchdown, 3.3 yards per carry, which is kind of ugly. But, you know, this got them the win against the Steelers. Anyways, back to Juju making himself looking out like an absolute idiot. Juju had three receptions for 15 yards the entire game. So a horrible performance. That's 5 yards per reception for people that don't like quick math. but he had three receptions for 15 yards. At the early stages of the game, Juju catches a pass, gets absolutely lit up by Von Bell and fumbles the ball. Now, you know, this was amazing. This, even if the Steelers won this game, this would still be insult to injury on Juju for dancing on the field, the logo. I mean, what do you expect, Juju? When you dance on opposing team's logo, you're going to get laid out. You're going to get laid out by any team that respects themselves and their logo are going to want to hurt you for doing something like that. You put the target on your back. That's your fault, Juju. That's your fault. You're putting your stupid TikTok dances above your own team. Above your own team. It doesn't seem like your head's in the right place. It seems like you are like too focused on, oh, it's my right to do my TikTok dances on your opposing logo, instead of actually focusing on the game, where you only get 15 yards on three receptions, you get beat by the Bengals, and you get absolutely drilled because of your stupid TikTok dances. Can you stop? Like, have you learned your lesson already? The world's trying to tell you something. Stop dancing on the damn logos. You look like an a-hole. You do. And, you know, you're a good player. I'm not going to take that away. But you're looking like an idiot. Anybody who's not a Steelers fan absolutely despises you. Even people that have no hatred towards the Steelers at all hate you. The only people that are liking you right now are people that follow all your social media stuff. You just seem too consumed with social media. And I know you're a fun guy and all of that. And you seem like you're a nice guy. But you got to stop. You got to learn your lesson here. You got to stop. And Mike Tomlin, the head coach of the Steelers, seemed to agree with me on this point. He finally said after the game, he said he was going to talk about Juju, about dancing on the logos. He said it's all about respect. And yes, it is. It's all about respect. You have to respect your opponent out there. And even if you, like, if you don't want to respect your opponent, if you want to be the bad boys, which honestly, TikTok dancing isn't the way to get there, but nonetheless, if you want to, you know, strike insult into your opponents, do it after you beat them. You know, beat them, have that be the insult to them. Beat that team. Show them that you're the better overall football team. Insult them by being better at the game than them and beating them into the ground. And then you can go dance on the logo. That's when you celebrate. You don't celebrate pregame. Who celebrates pregame? You don't lift the Lombardi trophy before the game's played. You don't do that. You don't dance on the logo before the game's over. If you like dancing on logos, dance on the logo after the game, after you win. Before the game, you look like an idiot. If you lost the game and you dance on the logo after the game, you look like an idiot. But if you win and you dance on the logo, hey, maybe we're like, hey, you're dancing on the logo after the game. You're insulting the team and you're just showing that you're better than them and you're spitting in their face. It might not be the best, most respectful thing, but it's more, I think you'd get more respect kind of from it, even though you wouldn't get as much, than dancing on the logo prior to the game. So if you want to keep dancing on the logo, maybe take that approach. It won't be as loved as much, but try to take that one. That's what I'd say. And overall, I mean, it's about respect, as Tomlin said. I hope Tomlin beat some sense into him at this point, because Juju just can't seem to figure this one out. And I hope that he can figure it out, because he might not be looking too appealing to other teams heading into his free agency. So that's just my words of advice for Juju Smith-Schuster. I'd like to see how you guys think about that, think about this situation. You can tweet at me at SportsReportPo1. If you want to, but yeah, just a disappointing series of events there. And I do think it's funny that they are losing this bad after Juju's been dancing on people's logos and talking smack and stuff. It is funny. Even if you're a Steelers fan, come on now. If this was another team and you were looking at them, it's funny. It's funny. And I feel bad for Steelers fans for being deceived into thinking that this team was maybe better than they actually are, since they just lost to a Bengals team that's essentially going to end up picking in the top five. So, oh, and also doesn't have their best player on the field. That too. Now into our next one, the Seahawks. They beat the Washington football team 20-15. Russell Wilson not showing MVP colors this week. Despite a win, he threw for 121, one touchdown and an interception. Now, again, this is a very nice Washington football team defense. Montez Sweat, Chase Young getting after the passer. Just overall, a very, very nice defense that have played way ahead of their expectations out there. And really, their strong suit of the football team that's gotten them so far has been their defense. Very, very good there. Haskins had 295. Haskins in for the injured Alex Smith. Haskins threw for 295 yards, one touchdown, and two interceptions. Not the best game, despite maybe a lot of passing yardage, but very inefficient. He threw 55 passes. I think he only completed about half of them, if I'm correct. 38 for 55, so a little more than half, but not the best efficiency ever. At the start of the game, really couldn't get anything going. Got some traction at the end, but ultimately failed there. And not the best Seahawks defense there either, but still not that good. Haskins had some controversy after the game. He was spotted on social media at a strip club directly after losing this game. Now, Haskins isn't on good footing with the coaching staff. He got benched for pretty much propping himself up for doing well after losses earlier in the game by Ron, earlier in the season. Now, this just makes him look even worse. I mean, what are you doing? This is another, like, Juju thing. Just absolute acting like an idiot. Dwayne Haskins at the strip club after a game that he lost. Come on, man. Just come on. And he was also breaking COVID protocols, putting his team in risk. So, just a lot of people this week, you know, it's deep into the season. You'd think people would get this stuff figured out by now, but Dwayne Haskins, you got to realize you're the starting quarterback for this team. And like you got to get this figured out. Alex Smith is still injured. You're the starting quarterback. You need to lead by example. Your Instagram bios and stuff say humble and stuff. I'm sure you're somewhat that, but you're not acting like it this season. You got to get it figured out, especially because if you get benched and Taylor Heineke, I believe, is the starting quarterback for the Red. Almost said it. The football team. So you got to get that figured out big time. especially because you are still fighting for your job and your career in the NFL, and it's not looking too good. We'll be right back after the break and a quick word from our sponsor. All right, and we're back with some more NFL. So let's get right into the next game. So the next game that we're going to talk about is the Jets and the Rams. Now, the Rams were just coming off a dominating 24-3 win over the New England Patriots, where they looked very, very good. Goff, maybe not as much, but still pretty efficient in his passing. Cam Akers broke out even more onto the scene with 171 yards and a touchdown. He absolutely carried the team. This week, maybe not so much. Now, this week was the New York Jets. The Jets that we know are currently 0-13. Yeah. 0-13. So the Jets, they came into this game. Everybody was thinking, oh, yeah, the Jets are going to pretty much suck as usual. Probably get killed like they got killed by the Seahawks last week, because the Rams and the Seahawks at this point, looking into this game, looked pretty much similar. Some would even argue that the Rams are better than the Seahawks. Last week, to me, it looked that way. It looked like the Rams were pretty much rolling. Their defense looked very good. And their run game looked tremendous with guys like Darrell Henderson, Cam Akers. And you also got Brown back there. You can just rotate through that backfield. It's a nice backfield. And you got weapons like Kupp and Woods and Gerald Everett and Tyler Higbee as your tight ends. Just good offense. Goff probably is actually the only kind of weak spot in that. And Goff is not he's like not a bad quarterback. He's good. He's not amazing, but he's a good quarterback. Anyways, they come into this week and they think it's going to be a cakewalk. It's not. The Jets won this game 23-20. They came out hot and were all over the Rams. Rams tried to make a late comeback and didn't happen. Sam Darnold had 207 passing yards and one touchdown. Not the greatest game, but he had control. He had a lot of control. Gore also rushed a lot. Didn't have the greatest yardage. I believe he only had like 59 yards. Let's check here. Gore had 23 carries with 59 yards. Not too great and one touchdown, but even still, this team was rolling down the field. Darnold looks good. I mean, imagine if Darnold had an all right coach, he'd actually be all right. But they win this game. Goff had 209, two touchdowns and one interception. Not the best game for him. He was looking shaky all game. Cam Akers also early on couldn't really figure it out. Figured out a little bit late, but it was just too late at that point. And the Jets won a game. You'd think that they'd blow it in typical Jet fashion to keep the tank going like they did against the Raiders. When Greg Williams sent an all-out blitz, when he should have been in a prevent defense like every other team that's ever done that in existence, and they blew that with a 46-yard touchdown to Henry Ruggs, ruining that and putting another loss on the Jets' record. This time, they don't pull that. They make it down to within 3 points, but the Jets somehow win this game. They don't choke it, and that even they can't lose right. The Jets are supposed to lose this game to get Trevor Lawrence, because the Jaguars are right there with them. And if they win, because they won this Rams game, now that has happened, the Jaguars now have that number one pick, because they both have one win in a Jaguar schedule, and it just works out that way. So now the Jets are – they tried to lose. They suck. The Jets, they suck. They're a sucky franchise. Their head coach is horrible, and they're just a bad overall franchise. They somehow beat a Rams team that has been playing very well the past few weeks, and it looks like it could be a Super Bowl contender. They beat them, so now everybody's questioning the Rams as well as me. I mean, after that, I don't know if I can trust that team at all. Jets win. They can't lose right. I just can't get over it. The Jets can't lose right at all. They're so bad. So bad. I mean, it's just, oh, so bad. And you think Adam Gase, even if he's not trying to lose, because there's no way he keeps his job at this point, But if he is trying to win, you'd still think they'd still lose because Adam Gase is just such a bad coach. But they somehow win this game. It's just unbelievable. They screwed up their shot. It looks like they're looking at Justin Fields at this point, who has not he's up to the hype at this point in his draft stock, but you know, there's been slight struggles with passing efficiency and stuff with Ohio State. You know, they only beat Northwestern by a little bit this past week in the Big Ten championship game. So there's been some questions about Justin Fields. You know, Zach Wilson coming up and maybe even taking that, which I'm surprised. I'd think Lance would be the guy there, but his one-game showcase was kind of iffy. Now you have the Jets right now at 2 if the season ended and the Jaguars at 1. And Lawrence, I think, is very happy for that, despite, the market influence in New York. It's just New York's just – the Jets are just such a mess that I think the Jaguars are even a better destination for Lawrence, and the Jaguars have been a mess for pretty much their whole existence, besides for that 1 year with Ramsey and when Bortles actually played well and they lost to the Pats in the AFC Championship game. But as a Patriots fan, seeing the Jets, I'm happy that the Jets won this game, and I hope they win some more because I do not want them to get Trevor Lawrence. I do not want to see them in the AFC, him in the AFC East. I'd much rather him be in the AFC South with the Jaguars. You know, I'm fine with keeping him in the AFC, but I do not want him in the AFC East to play against my Patriots. And not even for personal reasons of my being a fan of the Patriots, I want Trevor Lawrence to actually have success in this league. I think Trevor Lawrence deserves it. I mean, he's generational quarterback, probably the most praised quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck. He's in that category with Elway and Luck and all them. Those just quarterback can't miss generational type of quarterbacks that you know that they will succeed. And if they don't, you don't blame it on them because you know they have all the tools. You blame it on the guys that are around them, their system, and their coaching. And the only place right now that I can see that happening is New York. Because if Lawrence went about anywhere else, maybe the Chargers, but even there, Herbert still doing pretty well. It's just Anthony Lynn can't manage the clock and isn't a great coach. And somehow with that high-scoring offense has managed to just implode. But anyways, Lawrence with the Jets would not work out too well. Maybe a new coaching staff come in would fix that, but the Jets always figure out a way to screw that up. So just for his good alone, I wouldn't want him there as well. So good for Trevor Lawrence. Hopefully this holds. The Jets next week, I think, who are the Jets playing? The Jets are playing the Browns in New York. So I don't think the Jets are going to repeat this and win this game, but who knows? The Browns are sometimes shaky. They've looked good as of late, but they're shaky sometimes. They are the Browns. And Baker has his on and off days, although he's looked pretty good this year. So it could be interesting to see how that one pans out. I definitely think the Browns are going to win that one. You know, if the Jets win that, I'm not complaining. They got some two really nice wins on their resume. But that's definitely screwing them up a lot. It would be hilarious to see them win out this. It'd be very funny. But, yeah, sorry. I'm sorry, Jets fans. I'm sorry for your suffering. I'm very sorry. I know it seems like I'm coming after you like I went after Juju just before the break. But, I mean, I'm a Pats fan, so you know, it's kind of natural to not like the Jets at this point, but I do feel bad for you guys. You guys suffered a lot. I don't want to say I want to see you succeed because I don't, but I feel bad for you. I'll just say that. I feel bad for you. So sorry about that. Now onto the Pats game. The Dolphins, they beat the Patriots, eliminating them from playoff contention for the first time since 2008 when Matt Castle was the quarterback. In the past, went 11-5. Still very good record then. Still missed the playoffs. But the Patriots are not going to finish over 500 this year. The AFC East has gone to the Bills. And thus the Patriots are lose 22-12 to the Dolphins, led by Tua Tagovailoa. Cam Newton had 209 passing yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. So if you've watched him at all this year, you'd realize that that's actually a good game, which is sad to say. Then we had Tua. He had 145, zero touchdowns, and an interception. So not the best game for him. But if you watched it, you'd see that Salvon Ahmed, their running back, had 23 carries, 122, and a touchdown. The run game carried Tua, and his defense as well carried Tagovailoa the whole entire game. Tagovailoa is still a work in progress. I don't, you know, I still think he has a lot of potential in him since Alabama, but not looking like the best quarterback right now. What's leading the Dolphins to the playoffs is not Tua right now. It seems like it's everything that's around him. And just the good defense they have with Xavier Howard and Byron Jones in the secondary, Van Noy also as a linebacker. It's just a very nice, and coached by Brian Flores, an overall good defense, good run game. Usually not a good run game, but today was very good because the Patriots interior linemen just not the best. The Dolphins look very, very good for the future. If they can figure out Tua, then, which I think they will be able to, that will be nice. Obviously, Ahmed had 23 carries for 122. Very, very good game. And behind him was Matt Breida, who also had 86 yards on 14 carries. So very good there. Hopefully the Dolphins can find a way into the playoffs for their fans, but them and the Ravens are kind of fighting that one out. And right now it looks like the Ravens might have the edge on that. Now the Patriots, I want to look into their quarterback future really quick here. Cam Newton's not the answer, obviously. Newton put out some Instagram posts saying that he wants to be the person that solves the problem. And I love that. As a Patriots fan, I love Cam Newton to solve the problem. He's not going to solve the problem. Cam Newton's not going to solve the problem at all. We thought coming into the season, we weren't expecting Newton of 2015. I don't think anybody was expecting that after his injuries and his age as of right now, and you know his play style as a running quarterback beating him up over the years. We weren't expecting Cam Newton to be such a great player that he's gonna, you know, come in and he's gonna take Tom's spot and it will be like nothing ever happened. No one expected that. And if someone did expect that, I don't know what they were thinking. You just gotta look. But I don't think anybody was thinking Cam would play like he is playing. Now Cam is playing his heart out. I do think that. And I think that Bill Belichick has done a great job in getting this team to where they're even at. I mean, with Cam's play, it's just been very bad. Throwing for under 100 yards in multiple games. And past two games, they haven't even scored a single touchdown. Newton's only thrown 5 touchdowns the whole entire season, and I think he has 10 picks. 10 or 11. It doesn't really matter. I mean, 5 touchdowns, and he has more picks. And he's started every single game, so that shows a lot. Newton has not been good at all. Now, Jarrett Stidham is behind him. He's coming in some games and he showed that he has zip on the ball. You know, he has more control in the passing game, it seems. Definitely, he's younger. He has more power on his arm. Maybe a little more inconsistent, but it concerns me that Stidham hasn't gotten a shot at all. And it seems like Bill doesn't have any confidence in Stidham, because if I were the Patriots right now, I'd have Stidham in there. I mean, even last week, I would have. Because you had a 5% chance of the playoffs, you weren't going to make it anyways. And Newton was not the one, he's not the quarterback that gives you the best opportunity to win that game. That person is Jarrett Stidham. Now, Stidham, in his time, has not shown a ton of consistency. You know, he's had a lot of mistakes with interceptions and stuff. But you see him late in that Chargers game, he was throwing two open wide receivers, but they were... You saw on the ball just a lot of power on that, a lot of zip, and you can see that he has the physical attributes and definitely has a lot of power, like I said, and just overall, he can throw the ball better than Cam can at this point. And that's what they need. Stidham can also bring a running ability like Cam, but not kind of that option ability, more of like a mobile quarterback who can get out of the pocket and throw, but can also run if he needs to, type of quarterback. And that's really what I'd look for in a quarterback for the Patriots in the future. Because you need both elements nowadays. You can't just have one. Cam nowadays is more of just a running quarterback, and he can kind of check down every once in a while and do some intermediate routes, but he can't really throw long. Just his throws are just depressing right now, and he's not the starting caliber quarterback that he used to be. And I hope Stidham does start this week. Because if they start Cam, I don't understand. There's no point in starting Cam. And it concerns me if Belichick does start Cam, because it feels like maybe he's looking at bringing him back next season, and that would be very scary as a Patriots fan for me. I love Cam. I think he brings a positive attitude to the locker room, and I can't say enough good about his personality and what he's trying to do for the team. And I thank him for all that he's done for the Patriots franchise this year and helping them get through this time, which has been pretty tough trying to replace Tom Brady, which is a task no one can do. But the ability on the field isn't the same as it used to be, and it's not what's going to get the Patriots back to a Super Bowl, back to the playoffs. And I think you just got to give Stidham a shot. You got nothing to lose. If he does bad, then you draft the quarterback, and if he does good, then maybe you can draft the quarterback still. And, you know, and then have Stidham fight out with that quarterback. Or if you really think that he's really, really good, then there you go. We're going to take a really quick break right now, and we're going to be back with my Week 16 NFL predictions, some MLB and NBA talk, including James Harden, who I really want to talk about today. We'll see you in just a second. And we're back with some Week 16 predictions. So on Friday night, which is very interesting spot for a football game, obviously it's Christmas, so they're going to have that instead of Thursday night football, it seems like. And that game's going to be Vikings at the Saints. This game, I feel like, is going to be pretty well in favor of the Saints. I think the Saints are going to easily take this one. They played a really good game with the Chiefs this last week, and the Vikings have not been in control, really. Their defense has been kind of a letdown, and their offense, despite having Justin Jefferson having a great season and Adam Thielen having a good season, Kirk Cousins really hasn't been able to find the exact flow and hasn't been able to lead this team to consistent wins. So I'm going to give this one to the Saints, especially since they're at home. Next game is the Bucs at the Lions. The Buccaneers are coming off a shaky game against a bad Atlanta Falcons team that the Bucs won this game, but it was a Tom Brady comeback, and it was really tough to see the Falcons put that much damage on a good, should be good Bucs defense. They're facing the Lions, though, in Detroit. I think this one's actually going to be a tight game. I think Stafford's going to fight pretty well in this. But overall, I think the Lions are just too dysfunctional to beat the Bucs, even though the Bucs are pretty dysfunctional in their own right. I just see this one being two dysfunctional teams against each other, but the Bucs just have a bit more talent than the Lions, so I'm going to give that one to the Bucs. The next game is 49ers at Cardinals. 49ers have been struggling with Nick Mullins under center, and I don't see the 49ers really doing much here, so I'm going to give this one to the Cardinals. Dolphins at Raiders. This one is going to be probably the tightest game out of all of them. The Dolphins, you know, Tua hasn't really done much. And I think the Raiders, you know, they're not the best run defense, but I think they could shut down a little bit. Raiders are playing really down to the competition, but at the same time do have some talents at times. Carr has his on and off games. I'm going to give this one to the home field team. I think the Raiders are actually going to win this one. Dolphins really haven't given me enough with Tua and his consistency to tell me that they will actually win this one convincingly. So I think this one's going to be the Raiders. Next, we got the Falcons at the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are going to win this one pretty handedly. Offense just insane, and the defense for the Chiefs has actually come to play like somewhat this year. So I think the improved defense, and obviously they're just taking care of teams. So I'm going to give this one to the Chiefs. The Falcons won't have another kind of good game against a good team like they did against the Bucks. That's just a Bucks thing. Next one's at the Browns at the Jets. Will the Jets have another upset? I really don't think so. I'm going to give this one to the Browns. Mayfield has been finding good connections with a lot of the wide receivers. Jarvis Landry is getting more involved. He's acting more like a number one wide receiver without Odell there. Rashard Higgins is actually playing well. The defense is playing well, and I think this one's going to go to the Browns. Jets go back to their normal form. Next game is Colts at Steelers. This one, normally, say if this was 3 weeks ago, people would say Steelers all day. Two teams that I thought weren't going to do too well going into the year and did well. Steelers are on the downfall. I think they're going to continue that downfall. And the Colts are coming into form right now with T.Y. Hilton, like really turning it up lately, and Phillip Rivers doing well. So I think the Colts will win that game. Bears at Jaguars. I think the Bears take this one. Trubisky's looked all right. Not too terrible, and I think this Jaguars team is pretty easy to dismantle, especially with their defense not being too good. And I think the Bears defense will carry them through another game. Next one is Giants at Baltimore. I think this one's probably Baltimore's last hard game. I really don't see the Giants, even if they have McCoy or Daniel Jones back there, I don't see them beating Baltimore. I see it being a tight game, but I'm going to give it to the home field advantage, so I'm going to give this one to Baltimore. Bengals at Houston. I think Houston will take this game. I don't think the Bengals will continue their little run, well, technically one-win run against the Steelers that they had. I don't think Ryan Finley really has the firepower to get another one, especially against a Deshaun Watson-led team. Although Watson has lost because of really his surroundings, I think he sometimes, every once in a while, just like carries the team on his back. And I think against the Bengals defense, he can do that, especially at home. Broncos at Chargers, another tough one. I see this one going to the Broncos. The Chargers, very good with Justin Herbert, but Anthony Lynn, you know, he's always choking the games late. Besides the one last week against the Raiders, but I think they go back to the normal form. I think Drew Lock actually has a good game here against the Chargers defense that isn't too great in the secondary, especially with Derwin James, who's out for the season. So I think the Broncos have a good game, and Drew Lock shows his potential yet again. Panthers at the football team. I think this one's a tight game as well. I'm going to give this one to the Panthers just because of the turmoil in Washington's team right now. I don't think Alex Smith is going to suit up for this one, and Haskins is going through that whole entire strip club fiasco. So I think they're starting Taylor Heinicke, I'm pretty sure, or whoever the third string is. I think that is who it is. Nonetheless, they're starting a third string. Carolina has a pretty good, well-rounded team. I think Carolina takes care of this one. A tight game because of the good football team defense, but overall, I think this one goes to the Panthers. Then we got the Eagles at Dallas. I think the Eagles are going to tear apart Dallas's defense. Jalen Hurts is going to have probably one of his best games and get his first career NFL win here in Dallas. Rams at Seahawks, another tight game. I'm going to give this one to the Seahawks. The Rams are coming off a really bad loss, and I don't think they're going to really recover from that, especially when they're facing a really good Seahawks team with a good offense. When Wilson actually performs well, I think Wilson will perform well. I think he's going to turn it up. You're heading into the playoffs. Wilson will turn it up. And I also think that the Seahawks defense is getting a little better. They showed it last week. So hopefully they can lock down Jared Goff like most defenses had this year, and hopefully can stop the run. So I'm relying on that. Also, home field advantage, you know, Seahawks, I think, will win that one. Titans at Packers, Sunday Night Football. I'm actually going to give this one to the Titans. I like the Titans right now. Derrick Henry's on a roll, and I think he can tear apart this Packers run defense pretty well. So I'm going to give this one to the Titans. I think Aaron Rodgers will have a good game, but I don't think it's going to be good enough. The secondary for the Titans is kind of shaky, but, you know, they got Byard back there. They got Malcolm Butler, Adoree Jackson. I think the Titans defense is good enough to lock down some of the Packers' subpar weapons and Davante Adams. I think it will be a really tight game, high scoring, but I think the Titans will pull it out just because Corey Davis, I mean, A.J. Brown, they've been on a roll. That play action with Ryan Tannehill and Henry is so good, and Henry's just on a tear right now, and the Packers' run defense won't be able to stop him, and I guarantee that. Bills at Patriots. Patriots, well, this really depends on who starts at quarterback. I think if Cam starts at quarterback, the Bills take this one pretty handedly. If Stidham comes in, I think the Bills will have a little bit more trouble, but I still think the Bills will win this one. I don't think the Patriots have a chance at this. They do have home field, but I think the Bills will take this game pretty much no matter what. Last week against the Dolphins, the Patriots showed that they can't really compete anymore with those top teams this late in the season. And I think they have a better shot with Stidham, but not necessarily will win that one. So I think I'm going to give that one to the Bills. So now on to the NBA. Now, we're going to talk about some James Harden. So let's just go through this James Harden saga, if you will. Now, the Rockets, they reportedly want to keep James Harden, but Harden also had a preference of playing with John Wall. Wall earlier in the preseason said he expected Harden at practice. Harden didn't show up for practice. Harden pretty much, you know, but despite some reports of him wanting to play with Wall instead of Westbrook and all this, and playing off Westbrook as the enemy and him not as that, not kind of using Westbrook as the scapegoat, I guess, and why the team failed, where really Harden probably was that. I mean, look at him now. Harden's no-show at practice. He eventually does show, but a little bit late. There's still a ton of trade rumors. Harden was reportedly open to trade to the 76ers, Bucks, and the Heat. The Rockets wanted KD or Kyrie for Harden, which is obviously not going to happen. The Heat, in their trade talks, were unwilling to give up Tyler Hero, and the Heat were pretty much no longer interested in Harden after the Rockets kept pushing for Tyler Hero. Now, remember that the Rockets GM right now is a rookie, so I don't think he's handling this too well. I would have gotten rid of Harden immediately. The Hornets seemed like they had a pretty good offer in some of those reports where it said that the Hornets would go there. And personally, if I were the Hornets GM, I would never trade for James Harden because that's stupid. You're not going to get anywhere. You have no, besides for LaMelo and Gordon Hayward and Devontae Graham, which isn't the best core of all time, especially because I don't think LaMelo is going to work out. He could work out, but even if he does, that's still not enough firepower to get you into the finals or NBA championship. I don't think Harden wants to play in Charlotte, but if I was the Rockets GM, I'd gladly send away James Harden to the Hornets, even if he doesn't want to play there, because, I mean, if I'm the Rockets GM, James Harden's a pain in my butt right now, and I don't really care about him. I'm the new GM. I don't care anything about you. You've been a cancer to the team. We're going to send you to Charlotte. You can go suffer over there for the remainder of your contract. And I do that. And I think you get a better package too, because I don't think the Hornets are going to be too, too good. So you're going to get good picks from them. I'd ask for a lot of picks. Also, some of the proposed packages had Miles Bridges in it, which is very nice. So you pretty much get Harden on a team that won't interfere with if you want to keep winning, which right now the Rockets kind of head that way with Cousins and Wall still kind of there. Also, they got Christian Wood. So they're kind of in an intermediate right now. So if you want to win, you're sending them to the East and you're sending them to a team that probably won't compete even in the East. So that's a good positive there. And you get a ton of good picks. And Miles Bridges, who's a good, promising young player. Also, I think you had Cody Zeller in there and some of that just to make contracts work, which is fine. They're not going to really be a big part of it, but that's my take on it. Now, there was another report yesterday that Harden threw a basketball at rookie Jayshon Tate. Now, Harden's just being an asshole. James Harden's just being an asshole completely. He's doing this stuff. He doesn't want to be on the team. If I was the GM, I would have him gone immediately at this point. He's just being a nuisance. He's a cancer. He's making other teams, I think, Well, he's doing this stuff to make Houston trade him, but I think at the same time, he's making other teams look at him and be like, I don't want this guy on my team. If I saw this as an opposing GM, I wouldn't want him on my team, especially with his track record. He hasn't won anything at all in his career. He's been a ball hog, labels like that, and his personality sucks. If this is what he's doing, he's throwing basketballs at people in practice. He doesn't want to be at practice in the first place. I mean, he's just a total a-hole. Who wants this guy? I mean, I see the talent, but it doesn't translate to winning at all. He's farthest he's got is the Western Conference Finals, and that's because Chris Paul was doing so well. I mean, he had a part in that, of course, but without Chris, he wouldn't do much. And I just don't think Harden is really that. He's just a cancer in my eyes, and he's turned into that, and that's sad. I used to like James Harden, but with his actions so far, they're just not acceptable, and I think you have to acknowledge that those actions aren't acceptable no matter what in a basketball club. Harden also reportedly visited a strip club and broke COVID protocols, just like Dwayne Haskins. I mean, come on now. Again, he did it again. There was also reports that in between games, he'd fly out to Vegas and stuff to party, and then he said that it was to practice. Why would you fly out in between games to go practice somewhere? Far, like, just practice at your practice facility or get trainers that are in your own city. I don't think, like, who does this? I mean, I could be wrong, and many people could do this in between games and fly, like, from Houston to Vegas or Houston to Atlanta to go train with a guy for one day in the middle of the season. But it seems like this is to go party, and Harden's well known for that. It's just ridiculous. I think it's stupid, and I think right now Harden needs to be traded immediately from that Rockets franchise. He's doing more damage than good. I mean, it's bad. You want him as a mentor to the rookies. Well, he's not going to be a mentor to the rookies because he's too busy throwing basketballs at them. I mean, this guy's unbelievable. He has crazy talent, but at the same time, his personality and just overall his actions are cancer, complete cancer. And he gets on the basketball court and he performs well, but he looks totally out of shape at the start of every single season. You saw the pictures, he looked like completely fat. I mean, the guy is a party animal at this point. He's a Johnny Manziel, but basketball version, and he actually plays well on the court, but it doesn't translate to wins. It doesn't. It just doesn't translate to wins at all. It doesn't translate to championships, and that's what you want out of a player. James Harden doesn't translate to championships. I think he does more harm than he does good. And I just, James Harden is just he's annoying me so much this year. So much. And I don't think he's playing tonight. I could be wrong. This is being filmed on Wednesday. The Rockets are playing tonight. I don't think Harden is playing. So hopefully he will get traded. And I hope that he gets, that he gets out of these habits. But overall right now, he's just being cancer to the team. He's doing more harm than he is doing good for this Rockets team. And I think that he just needs to go somewhere else. He wants to go somewhere else. It's better. It's beneficial for the GM to send him somewhere else because he's not going to do anything for you here. He's not going to do anything for you here. He doesn't have the mentality of John Wall or Westbrook where you go to practice, you show up to practice 2 hours early, and you work. He has the mentality that he'll play your game. Sure, he'll come play for you. And then if he has an off day in between, he's going to go fly to Vegas, go party. He's going to come back and he's going to play well. But he just doesn't seem like he wants to win a championship. It doesn't seem like his mind is there. It seems like his mind is at partying all the time. And that's not something I want in a player. Gobert, Rudy, let's switch up to some more happy things. Rudy Gobert signed a 5-year, $205 million extension with the Jazz. I think that's a little bit overpaid, but good for the Jazz. You know, him and Donovan Mitchell are two key centerpieces. You don't want to lose those. He was asking for a lot of money. They gave it to him. I would have probably negotiated a little bit down, but good for him, Rudy. Go get some champagne, celebrate that. Kyle Kuzma also got a 3-year, $40 million extension from the Lakers. I don't agree with this at all. I don't think Kuzma is worth, what is that, like four, somewhere around 15 milli? A little less than 15 mil per year. Probably around 13. I'm trying to do the math in my head. Yeah, like 13. I don't think Kuzma's really worth that much. I think he's kind of been, he's just not really that productive. I think you would get more out of a trade. Maybe that's what they're trying to do. They're extending him to get more security and then trade him off. I don't think Kuzma should be in the long-term plans of this Lakers team. I don't think he's really going to be anything too special. I think he's just a role player. So I think he should probably get traded out there. Lonzo Ball won't sign an extension. You know, before this preseason, I might say, I would have said that this is dumb. He should sign the extension now because Lonzo isn't going to get a max contract like some reports said he wanted to get. But his shooting in preseason has actually looked really, really good. And I think Lonzo could do be a very good point guard if he keeps shooting like that. And he definitely has the passing ability and he has the floor spacing ability. He has the handles and he can rebound as well. So if he can keep shooting well, that his whole entire problem, his whole entire career has been his shooting efficiency and his how he can't hit threes, but now he can hit threes. So that's just perfect, completely perfect. And if he can keep doing that, then I definitely support the decision of not signing an extension because you get more money later. And, you know, good on Lonzo. I hope he gets better. But I like what I see. I really do like what I see in preseason, especially from the Pelicans. Him and Zion are looking really good. And Lonzo's improvement in his shooting is just, it's crazy. It's very, very good. And he's definitely putting in work in the offseason, unlike James Harden. The Nets last night in the first game of the NBA season, they beat the Warriors 125-299. Kyrie Irving scored 26 points in 25 minutes. Durant scored 22 points. Caris LeVert off the bench scored 20 points. He had 9 rebounds as well. So the Nets just looked very insane. I said this on Twitter. I mean, this proves that the Nets just don't need James Harden. They really don't. I mean, they're beating the Warriors, which is a good team, by 26 points. They had the game in control the whole entire way. Irving looked very, very good. And I mean, Irving and Durant have big egos. They it works, but they do have big egos. I think you can't dispute that. They're interesting personalities. And I think my whole thing about Harden possibly going there is you're already really deep in the rotation, and to get Harden, you're going to have to trade away guys like Dinwiddie, maybe Joe Harris, LeVert, who had a really good game last night and factored into the game a lot. You're going to have to trade away those guys to get James Harden, and I don't think it's really worth it. And I think having those three guys, Harden, Irving, and KD on the same team, star-studded, they'll perform really good for probably the first year, but I think the egos will just implode, and having to have the ball in their hands at all times will just destroy it. And I think honestly, LeVert, Durant, and Irving, I think that works better long-term, and it's working now. I mean, they beat the Warriors by 26. The Warriors are a better team. They got Curry. They got Wiseman now. Wiseman put up 19 points and 6 rebounds in 24 minutes last night. He looked very, very good. Curry had 20 points and 10 assists. So this is a no-joke Warriors team. They're a good team, but the Nets are just miles better. I mean, Irving and Durant work perfectly together. LeVert works well off the bench. Joe Harris did well off the bench. Dinwiddie's still a really good sixth man. I think this Nets team can go very, very far and possibly could even win an NBA championship. I mean, this team is super good, and I don't think they need James Harden. They proved that last night. I can't wait to see what happens for the rest of the season, but they don't need James Harden at all in my mind, especially with just what he's doing. James Harden's shooting himself in the foot. He really is, and the Nets don't need him. Now to go to some MLB just to wrap it up. The Mets are on a tear. Trevor Bauer reportedly likes where they're headed. That could be a good pitching addition for them. They already got Steven Matz, Noah Syndergaard, Jacob DeGrom, and they got Stroman. Imagine adding Bauer to that. That would just be very, very good. The Mets and Blue Jays are considered front runners for George Springer, a good outfielder, and the Mets have also talked to Yankees second baseman DJ LeMahieu. So Steve Cohen, the Mets' new owner, I mean, he's just doing a really good job. He's talking to all these big-name free agents. He's taking advice from the fans. I think this is really good, and I think he's going to get the Mets going. I mean, their rotation's already perfect. If you had Trevor Bauer to that, who just won the Cy Young, I mean, that would be perfect. They don't even really need to focus on that much. LeMahieu, if they could get that and they could get Springer, I mean, you're focusing on your batters and your fielders. And if you can get that solidified, honestly, you have a good shot. And I think this team, if they can keep making these big splashes, like they're in talks with everyone, which is what they should be doing, they could go far. And I think the Mets are heading in a really good direction. And finally, to end it, the Rays say that the Rays owner said that the only option is to split seasons in Montreal by 2028. Now, they were talking about this a little bit last year, but I think splitting seasons, it could be an interesting experiment. I said that before, but honestly, if just go all the way, just go to Montreal, because if it's not working in Tampa Bay, especially when you just made the World Series, then just go all the way to Montreal. I mean, Tropicana's, I think, an hour outside of Tampa Bay, so they don't have great attendance. Build a new stadium in Tampa, like, get closer, and maybe it could work out that way. Or just go all the way to Montreal at this point. Because splitting seasons, especially, I think it's too much for the players. You're going across North America. You're going from the bottom in Florida all the way up to Canada. I mean, I think it's too much travel for them, and splitting seasons, I don't see it, but it should be interesting to see. So, guys, that was Sports Report Podcast episode 31. Thank you guys so much for listening. We love you guys. We couldn't do it without you. We should have a episode coming around the same time next week, so episode 32 hopefully will be around next week. Follow me on Instagram at Sports Report Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Sports Report Po1. You can also follow my personal Twitter account while I give my opinions. That's Billy SR, or Sports Rep Billy. You can find that under Sports Report Podcast Twitter page also. Thank you guys so much for everything. Couldn't do it without you guys. You guys can also check out our YouTube, which is Sports Report Podcast. We'll be posting clips and highlights. Thank you guys so much for everything. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you guys next week.